And welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best: provide cancer updates, research, and education. Rolf Benerska knows what it's like to face a challenge on and off the football field. As the first NFL player to ever wear an ostomy appliance following his own chronic health issues, Rolf has dedicated his life to patient advocacy and supporting the research and innovation that leads to new therapies.
So my whole journey into this advocacy world of patient engagement started with my own illness. I was 23 years old. I was in my second season as a place kicker for the San Diego Chargers when I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. It was a disease not talked about much. There were not good therapies at the time. I was making my living as an athlete and as a kicker. There's only one on the team, and so you either are going to be the starting kicker or you can quickly be unemployed. And I liked what I was doing, and our team was good, and I was having success. And so you're also playing in a world where guys are getting concussed and tearing shoulders and knees. And I was a little kicker with a stomach ache and diarrhea. And so you kind of keep your head down and you keep going. And I tried the standard therapies back then. It was basically prednisone and azulfadine, a sulfur product that I thought was helping, but it really wasn't. And so I played sicker and sicker. The last month of the year, I was literally playing the game on Sunday. Sunday night, I was going to a hospital. They were putting a central IV line in my neck. I was fed intravenously all week, got released in time to play the game. Sunday night, would go back in the hospital with another IV. And so really the last month of the season, I wasn't eating. I was being fed completely, but I wanted to finish the season. And then from there, tried to come back my third season, collapsed on a team play, needed surgery, was very lucky to survive the surgery, thought my career was over, and really quite remarkably, I got to return to play. And it was really upon playing again that a lot of attention was placed on my story. The NFL was, even back then, well covered, and so we would play in different cities my first year back, and I would be written about by the local sports writer or the TV journalist. And wherever those stories appeared, patients would read them, and they would write a letter to me. I would come back to the locker room, and there would be 50 letters, and they'd all be the same. How can you play football with Crohn's disease? And I really felt I had to do something, because I knew for every letter I received, there were probably 100 letters that a patient didn't think they would ever get to me. They didn't write it. So that led me to recognize we needed to take this illness out of the closet and talk about it. And since then, it's been remarkable to see the change, the evolution in therapies that we didn't have then that we have now that give extraordinary hope to patients suffering from IBD.
Following his experience, Rolf places a big emphasis on healthcare providers engaging with their patients.
So I think patient engagement is increasingly important for a couple of reasons. First of all, we are changing as patients. We are more educated. We can go to Dr. Google, WebMD, go on the internet and learn about our illness. We become informed. Sometimes we're misinformed, but we're informed and we have a desire to be involved. And maybe equally as important, we can go through social media and connect with other patients and hear their stories. And so we are now an empowered consumer, and we're consumers. We're people first and patient second, and so we want to be involved. And so in the UK, they started Nothing About Us Without Us. So if you want to start building drugs for us, include us. Let us help educate you. We want to support you. We want to come alongside an industry that is giving us great hope, even as new therapies are just being developed with precision medicine and genomics and the microbiome research. So I think it's a benefit to the patient, but it's also a huge benefit to the industry if they would recognize that we're this enormous force that wants to come alongside their work, because at the end of the day, we're the ultimate beneficiaries of that.
In addition, Rolf recommends for patients to advocate for themselves, not just with their doctors, but within the health system as a whole, and to share their story.
The healthcare industry is in flux. There's a lot going on. The physicians are changing, patients are changing, PBMs and insurers and health systems and specialty pharmacies and distribution, all of that is in flux. For it to get straightened out, misalignment has to be changed. At the end of the day, patients are going to drive a lot of that. So I think when they see bills that are going to potentially limit innovation, patients should jump up and say, no, can't do that. If we are being priced out, we need to talk about that. If there's if existing therapies are being denied from seniors, that has to be, if access to medications are taken away from us, that has to be stood up and fought and challenged. And it really needs to be patients. We need to get activated. We need to activate ourselves into getting involved in those kinds of situations. Sharing your story starts everything. First of all, it lets people know that they're not alone. They relate to somebody else's story and go, I'm going through the same thing, the same questions, the same fears, the same uncertainties. And it allows a face and a story to be put to a disease. Otherwise, we just call it cancer. We just call it Crohn's disease. We don't talk about Sally or Bill or Jane or my mom that had it. And at the end of the day, our legislators are people. They know a little about a lot of things. We need to deepen their knowledge about things that are important to us, and healthcare is that. And they learn it from people sharing their story, constituents who are willing to walk on the hill, write letters, and educate. And at the end of the day, our legislators want to do the right thing too. They have to be educated.
Incredibly grateful after his own experience, Rolf co-founded a patient engagement company called Legacy Health Strategies, as well as the Grateful Patient Project, which now has a day recognized and celebrated in September.
The Grateful Patient Project and National Grateful Patient Day was actually launched by someone in my office who knew what I had gone through, recognized the power of patients, the need for patients to get up and share their story, to encourage one another, to educate legislators, and applied to the National Calendar Registry Day for a day. And a few weeks later, she got a letter back, said, well, there were 30,000 applications for a day. We awarded 18, and we're going to award you National Grateful Patients Day. And the day that she had selected was September 7th, which was the first day I returned to football after having my life spared, saved, and getting a chance to resume my career. We played a game against Seattle. I kicked two field goals, and I would play seven more seasons. And that's the day that she selected and that we were awarded. So every September 7th, heretofore, is National Grateful Patients Day, a day we want to hear from patients. We want them to thank their nurses and their doctors and their pharma companies and their device companies and their parents, the people that allowed them to return to life.
So what exactly is a grateful patient?
A grateful patient to me is someone who recognizes that they are the beneficiary of the work done by a lot of other people, most of whom they will never meet, they will never understand. They don't appreciate how much innovation, research, time, energy, commitment goes into creating a drug. The cost, the years of back-breaking bench science, 10, 12, 15 years, oftentimes with never a drug actually ever making it to market, but each failure moving science along. They don't understand the commitment that goes into getting a drug through the phase 3 trials, putting trials together. They don't understand the training that the doctors went through that treat us, the nurses that care for us. There's a whole ecosystem of people whose shoulders we stand on as patients and get to receive the drug that cures us, extends our life, changes our lifestyle. And a grateful patient stops and recognizes that. Sometimes we have to be educated because we don't know. And then they recognize the sacrifice their parents, their brothers and sisters, their physicians made on their behalf to get them on therapy, keep them on therapy. So there are these what you call sort of parachute packers that have helped along the way that they may never get to know. And once they learn that, we ought to be on our knees gratefully thanking them.
To leave off, Rolf wants every patient to think about just one thing. Do you choose to be the victim or the victor?
I think every patient that gets diagnosed with something gets to this point where they first go, oh no, this is the worst thing. Oh no, not now. This isn't fair. I'm young. I was just starting my career. This isn't right. Yes, And you can choose to be the victim or you can choose to be the victor. And in the process, you have to change with this little space between your ears the way you receive the diagnosis. We all ache. We all feel sorry for ourselves. And it's natural. And we have to do that. You get to choose, do I stay bitter or do I choose to get better? And it takes a while. Sometimes we need encouragement from others. But when you choose to fight it and get better, it can be one of the grateful places, experiences you will have in your life. You get knocked off this first mountain. You end up in this valley. You have to wrestle in your soul what life is about. And if you come out of it, you get to start to climb this second mountain, grateful, changed. The POWs that survived Vietnam talked about moving from prison thinking to redefining a mission, thinking about life differently. And in the process, it can become one of those things that you're eternally grateful for because of the way it's changed you.
Okay. Is there anything that we didn't talk about?
I just so appreciate what you're doing. I really appreciate the chance to be here. I know every patient's journey is different, and it's hard. And when you end up in the ditch and you look around, you go, not now. I have a young family, young kid, young wife, or people are depending. Yes, it's not fair. It's not fair. And then if you can learn from other patients who have been down that road, who have demonstrated what it takes to fight and how to carry on, and if you recognize that there are all these people working on your behalf behind the scenes, creating new therapy, we are on the cusp of extraordinary new treatments with precision medicine, genomics, stem cell therapies, immunotherapy. It's amazing. And it's happening by the month, by the year. And that hope, I think, is the end of the day, is what drives most of us. Without hope, we can do virtually nothing. With hope, we can do almost anything. And there's great hope out there for patients.
For more information, visit gratefulpatient.org. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @cure_magazine.